Good morning, and welcome to Martinsville Community Methodist. Today is Easter. It is the day that we rejoice in our risen Lord, the day that we wait all year round to sing the Hallelujah chorus. So please join me as we open in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to sing your praises, to rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord, that the grave is empty. It is such a joyous time. So as we worship today, Lord, we pray that our hearts will sing and our heads will be lifted up high, because we are proud to be part of your heavenly kingdom. So, Lord, accept our worship as we come to you in the name of Christ, our King, our risen Lord. Amen. Join me in the call to worship. The tomb is empty and the darkness has lost. We dance in the light of his resurrection. No more do we have to fear. No more does worry reign. He is victorious, and so are we. Because of his victory, we are free. Praise the Lord, alleluia. Praise the risen Lord, alleluia. Turn in your hymnals to page 293. That's 293, our reading today of Behold the Savior of Mankind. Join me in the reading. Behold the Savior of mankind, nailed to the shameful tree. How vast the love that he inclined to bleed and die for thee. Hark now, he groans, while nature shakes, the earth's strong pillars bend, the temple veil is sunder breaks, and the solid marble rend. 'Tis done, the precious ransom paid. Receive my soul, he cries. See where he bows his sacred head. He bows his head and dies. But soon he'll break death's envious chain and in full glory shine. O Lamb of God, was ever pain, was ever love like thine? The reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We'll read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 31. Please read along with me. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciples went forth, and going to the tomb, the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head now lying with the linen wrappings rolled up in its place by itself. So the other disciples who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and beheld. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stopped and looked into the tomb. And he saw two angels, while sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know who it was, Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to the Father and to your Father, and my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut and the disciples were in fear for the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when they had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, then their sins shall be forgiven to them. If you retain the sins, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples were saying to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the imprints of the nails, put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside the tomb with him. Jesus came to the doors, having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your fingers and see my hands, and reach here with your hands and put them in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you've seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." And therefore, many other signs Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. So be the reading of the Word of God. Father in heaven, as we open your Word and go through the text and rejoice in the wonderful story, the story of your resurrection, the story of the empty tomb. Pray not only does this deeply, deeply strike into our hearts, but also just be an immense joy because we now have reason to rejoice and have hope in you and everything you promised. So we ask as we go through your word that you encourage us. In the name of Christ our King. Amen. Well, the Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. This is a great day to rejoice in the empty tomb because the story of Jesus' resurrection is an exciting story, one that is amazing. And even though you've been a Christian for many, many years, maybe your entire life, it should never be lost on you what great joy it is on Easter that we celebrate his resurrection. And I'm sure that many of you have heard the stories over and over again. These are stories that have been passed down over centuries. For over 2,000 years, we have told the story, and to many, it still is fresh and anew every time we tell it. And, you know, the emotions that you feel when we sing about this great event of our Lord being raised from the dead, the stories where he showed himself to the disciple, where they could look in his hands and know it was him, and the wounds in his side and know it was he without a doubt. This is a testimony we've been given. This should bring emotions that deeply stir in our heart. We should never, never negate that as just this old story that we've heard over and over again. It needs to be one that we cling to and hold on to all the days of our life. And every time we hear it, it should bring joy to our heart. But why is the story important? We put all this majesty out of singing, and we've had palm branches, and we had all sorts of colorful banners. But why is it important that Jesus rose from the dead? Why is that the key cornerstone of the understanding of our Christian faith? Well, first of all, Jesus has demonstrated that all the promises he's given us are real. And not only are they real, he has the ability and the authority to complete every single promise. There's no doubt after he raised from the dead, after being in the tomb for 3 days, that if he can do that, he can do anything he has promised. And what he's promised us is eternal life. And he showed us that he has the ability to come back, and he demonstrated without a doubt that everything he said about heaven, everything he said about it, the heavenly kingdom, and everything he told us about where he had come from is true, because he has demonstrated that there is life after the grave. There is no doubt that he was killed terribly on the cross. Not only do we have evidence and witnesses that he was killed, in his resurrected life, he has evidences that he is the one. He's got the holes in his hand. He's got the hole in his side from the spear. And he promises us a new body. And then he shows up. He's got a new body, a resurrected body. Now, it's not exactly the same like our human bodies. It's very evident by some of the stories as we read some of the text today. He just kind of came into the room. And he's walking around with holes in his body. So it's not like a human body. But he's promising us a resurrected body, and he's showing us that absolutely this is what we're going to have just like him. And even Thomas's doubt in the story shows that even the skeptics among us can be saved. There's no need for blind faith. Blind faith is not required. He offered Thomas evidence. And of course, remember, he said, "You believe because you see. Blessed are those who believe and have yet to see." That's us. We receive an extra blessing because we believe without seeing, on the testimony of these stories. And of course, being in the resurrected body, we know that not only had Jesus have the scars, and he could eat, and he can walk, and he can talk. We've got Mary that clung to Jesus. And it shows us, because of the story, that our new bodies will have touch and feel, because Jesus knew that she was clinging to him. So this resurrected body, since he was the first one, this is what we're going to get. So it has touch, feel. He can talk. He can hear. He can demonstrate that the holes were there, and you could see them and feel them. And then Mary's encounter with others show that. He might not look exactly the same as he did when he was in human form here on earth. Because you note it, she didn't recognize him at first. We've got some other stories on the road to Emmaus where they walked with him and they didn't realize it was him until they sat down and broke bread and they realized it was Jesus. So this resurrection body he's promised us and showed us that he has might have a few extra features we're not used to. But probably the best part is Jesus remembers everyone. even though he suffered a tremendous death and was put in the tomb, when he was resurrected, he knew everybody. He remembers all these relationships. So this idea that we'll all go up in heaven and forget everything on earth, no. We're going to remember everything. We're going to remember our friends. We're going to be able to continue those relationships just like he was doing with all those people he left behind for a few days. And then, of course, when he went up in the air, he promised to be with us. So, the promise he made to his disciples, John chapter 11, verse 20 through 28, Martha, therefore, when she had heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. I want you to see that there's a promise there. That promise, he demonstrated that he can fulfill. Even if you die, you will live. And that everything that he declares, and he is the resurrection life. And so if you follow him, you'll have the same life that he has. That's life after death, real life. His body is walking and talking, and many witnesses see him afterwards. Because you see this promise that he made and said to Martha, all has happened, and he will follow through for each of us. So it's a great story, and you see that the resurrected man has lots of promises that he's going to fulfill, but what does that mean to us personally? What do we take with this story and the things we're singing about and rejoicing? What does that mean to us? Well, first, especially for some of you who are older, we'll get there before those of us who are younger. When you close your eyes on your last day on earth, and you will, there's a day appointed, according to God, your last day on earth, you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to sleep. You're going to sleep till the trumpet sounds and you meet our Lord in the clouds. This is a promise from a man who came back from the dead, not in some mystery way. Right there, the tomb is empty, and he's walking and talking to people who can see him. He's not a spirit. He's not a ghost. He's not a vapor where your hand goes through. He's real. And so it's a promise that you're going to have the same body. And this is what it means to you. And of course, then you've got in Matthew a testimony about others being raised from the dead. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 53. And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. So already at this point, Jesus being raised from the dead He also had others raised from the dead because of his sacrifice on the cross. So what that means to us is, yeah, it's great for him, but we already have a story that if those people came back to life on Good Friday, then that's a promise to us that we too are going to just come alive. And it's the promise to the common believers, not special people like Jesus or the apostles, but the just common, everyday believers. Those are the people that stepped out of the graves right then. And of course, it also has back in there, Jesus said that we will see the glory of God. Each of us will see an amazing thing. And you know what? There's so many people that do not think that there's life beyond the grave. You've got movies and televisions and much more, story after story, and even historical figures that all state that when you die, you die. When you're dead, you're dead. Would these people live a different life if they knew that the grave wasn't the end? If they knew Christ, who came back from the grave and demonstrated that there's life after death? I remember a commentary by Rush Limbaugh, who's been dead for a number of years now, and I don't remember the exact words, and I couldn't find them on the internet, but it sounded something like this. When people know that there are eternal consequences to their actions here on earth, there is a very strong deterrent from doing evil here on earth. And I want you to catch that. There's so many people that do not believe that there is life after death, that there's no accountability for their life here on earth, even though Christ showed us, and we have many witnesses written down, that there is life after death. But yet, they don't think so. If they did, they would live life differently. So now that you know for sure that Jesus has the power to raise himself up from the dead and demonstrated that he has the power to raise many others up from the dead, and it is a promise with a man standing among many witnesses, will this change your life knowing this truth? Will you live in fear? For Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So if you really believe that, and you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, it should make a difference in how you live your life. You need to live a transformed life, risking it all for Jesus, because death is no longer a deterrent. And then as I go back to the text and step into verse 19, it says, so it was evening on that day, on the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood with them in the midst and said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and his disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any of their sins, they have been forgiven of them. If you retain sins of any, they have been retained. So I want you to understand that Jesus is clearly alive. And these men rejoice because they know that there is nothing to stop them. If you no longer fear death, because you know that death is not the end, what will stop you? He stood in front of them, not like a ghost, but a solid man, just like I said. But clearly in the story, they locked the doors and windows. And he came right in. Doesn't say whether he beamed in like Star Trek or whether he just walked right through the doors, but either way, he was a solid man. Because they touched him, they prodded him. And his hands and his side, and he's the only one, are marked for an eternity. He'll give us a perfect body, a body designed for heaven with no mars, just like Adam and Eve, except for ours will be even better because death will not reign. But his are for an eternity so that when we see him in person, and we will, you'll be able to see the scars in his hand. You'll be able to see the marks in his side. And I'm sure he'll be glad to show them to you. Because he did this for you. And now, and I want you to catch in my reading I read there, the Father sent him. So now he's sending us. So be bold. Live like your Savior lives, with all the promises he offered us to be absolutely true, that he has the power to make them all come about, and that if someone stands in front of you and say, if you say anything more about it, Jesus, I will strike you dead, which I've got stories that that has happened, and they get struck down, do not have fear, because we know that that's not the end. Because Christ promises a resurrected body, and we will not die, even if we die, just like he told Martha. So this is the day to remember and to celebrate with song and praise, because everything he promised us, we know is true. Because he stands in front of an empty tomb. Jesus has the power, authority, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is alive, risen is he. Most important is that you have faith in him and in his life and his resurrection. So continue to celebrate all day the resurrection of our Lord. Now please stand and join me in the hymnal on page 887. Page 887, the affirmation of faith from Romans. Please join and read with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? No! In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, for the benediction. Please stand. The Lord said, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall be fed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Go with joy and peace and power with the resurrected Christ.